Welcome to the Encore Entrepreneur Show, where we break through the online noise, trends, and all those fleeting tactics to bring you business guidance that stands the test of time, has been proven to work, and gives you real-world results so that your entrepreneurial journey is as successful as possible.
We believe in building businesses from the inside out using values and validation. Learn how to put values and validation to work in your business by joining our free workshop at EncoreEmpire.com/validate.
I'm Deidre Harder, a CPA and business strategist.
And I'm Carmen Reed Gilkison, a whole person certified coach and business strategist. We're your guides on the side and hosts of the Encore Entrepreneur Show.
Let's get started. Today, we have got the most amazing guest. So you want to get a beverage and sit back and listen to this. This is the most amazing story of Beverly Pimsleur. Now, Beverly is an author, teacher, and documentary filmmaker, and she worked with her late husband, Paul, to create the Pimsleur language programs. And I don't know about you, but I remember that growing up, like all through my teen and young adult years. Now, after his untimely death, she partnered with one of her husband's colleagues, and they created 30 new programs in addition to the original five. The company was later acquired by Simon & Schuster, and they now offer 51 language programs, making it among the most successful of the self-instructional programs in the U.S. Now, it gets even better because Ms. Pimsleur started Actual Video Inc. with her partner, Peter Paz, photographer and filmmaker, and they traveled throughout France and the Caribbean to create C'est la vie, a series of educational videos in French based on the book by the same name, which was used by colleges and universities in French civilization courses. And after her partner died while they were living in France, Ms. Pimsleur returned to the U.S. and went into her business yet again with her daughter to found Little Pim, a DVD series to teach foreign language to young children. It became the leading system for introducing kids 0 to 8 to a second language at home. The company expanded into 22 countries and won more than 25 awards for its entertainment immersion method. Now, while producing the 12 language programs for Little Pim, Ms. Pimsleur wanted to help enable all children to have access to language learning. And she became active in the Global Language Project, which brought free classroom instruction to youngsters in underserved neighborhoods and was on the board of directors. Ms. Pimsleur also taught comparative literature at Ohio State University and is the author and co-author of 9 cultural readers in French, Spanish, and TSL. La vie ailleurs, sol y sombra, encounters, c'est la vie, just Harcourt Brace Jovanovich, and author of Counterparts from Macmillan. Her essays have been published in Memoir Magazine, Hitchlit, and included in the anthology Writing Fire. And Ms. Pimsleur lives in New York City and has recently completed a memoir, Repeat After Me, The Pimsleur Love Affair with Language. Wow, it's a lot. Beverly, we are so excited to have you here on the podcast with us.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. And very eager to discuss whatever aspects of my story you think would be of interest.
Yes, I know that our listeners are going to love this. So let's start with, because you've been such a serial entrepreneur through your life, let's start with, how did a mom and pop business that began in an Ohio basement turn into one of the leading self-instructional language companies in the U.S.? That is a story in itself.
Well, yes, it is, because my husband and I, who were both academics, after the creation of the Pimsleur program, which seemed to be very pleasing to the people who originally sponsored us, which was the United States government, my husband and I said, well, if they like it so much, maybe we should just commercialize this and go into business and sell these programs. Well, we didn't have a clue about what to do. And when I say that it was a mom and pop business in the basement, it was next to the washer and dryer. And as I was throwing the diapers in, I was writing labels for the few people who seemed to be interested in our programs. And so it really did not get off to a great start. Unfortunately, it was only after my husband's death that the Pimsleur's programs had some traction. And that was because a colleague of his approached me and offered me a contract that he would be the marketing manager and I would train all the new people who would essentially be my play the role that my husband played. And so he offered me this contract and I showed it to a friend of mine. He said, oh, this is the worst contract. I mean, he has much too much and you have much too little. You should search for somebody else. Well, I was very, number one, naive. Number two, this was shortly after his death. I didn't know what to do. So I took what I thought was a bad contract, but my intuition told me that this man was very devoted to the program. And that was probably one of the best business decisions I made, not even knowing it was a business decision. And so he marketed those programs very successfully. It was extremely difficult because none of the linguists who were playing the role that Paul played to write these programs based on his template wanted to work with me. I was a woman. I was not a linguist. So we had to do a lot of arm twisting, but we eventually had 32 programs and they began to sell. And actually, Simon & Schuster came to us to buy the program. I don't know how much time we have, but to have a cute story about how they found us?
Sure, yeah.
So the head of Simon & Schuster was audio programs, was involved with a woman who spoke Spanish, and he wanted to learn Spanish. So he asked his secretary to line up all the Spanish programs, and he took one after the other. And he just didn't think any one of them were successful until he found Pimsleur. He thought it was so amazing that he said, I want to buy the company. And that's how we got to Simon & Schuster, who have done an amazing job because from 32 languages, they have increased them to 51.
That's fantastic. And I love that the parts of that story where you didn't know what you were doing. You were naive. You took a chance. You followed your intuition. And it was a different time back then. What year was that when that happened?
I'm talking about my husband died in 1976.
Yeah.
So, and I Charles Heinle, who was the genius marketer, approached me months after my husband died.
Yeah, that is just fantastic. And I love that you believed in it and in yourself enough to take that chance.
Well, I did. I believed in the programs. I was totally devoted and still am to this method, which I use myself. Every time I go to a foreign country, I take a few months before and learn Russian or Brazilian Portuguese or whatever language they're speaking.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I love, you know, the one thing you brought up too, Beverly, is that because you were a woman, it made things more difficult. And now, granted, this was, you know, a couple of decades ago. So, you know, we feel like, oh, you know, after we got past the 60s, everything was good for women, but it wasn't. It wasn't easy. And in fact, we're finding as we talk to the ladies in our audience and our clients today that there's still remnants of that happening. And even if there is not as much going on, I think that our generation, our last couple of generations for women, we have gotten used to that. And we kind of expect it or we behave in a different kind of way. Because of all that went on, what is your take on that? What's been your experience?
Well, my experience has been that there has definitely, certainly in my daughter's generation, she experienced the same thing, which was in 1990, when she went to France and worked in the film industry, and was experienced that they were really not interested in having women advance. And she came back to the United States to and found her own company, and had many of the problems that I had had 25 years before. And I'm not as in touch, I must say, with, well, not, that's not exactly true, because my daughter now has another business of her own. And in fact, she is helps women entrepreneurs through her business, Million Dollar Women, because she finds it that women, and particularly women of color, are finding the very same problems that I experienced 50 years ago. So I think those problems are still ongoing.
They are. And I think one of the best things that we can do for ourselves is to found our own businesses. Because even though as an entrepreneur, you still face that, you have more control over it than if you're having to deal with corporate culture and patriarchy in that manner.
Absolutely. And that's why my daughter came back to America and started her own film company. And she's now on her third company. The second company was the one that we started, the Little Pimp Company.
Now, and you know, one of the things that, you know, our business, we named it Encore Empire. And there were two reasons for that. Encore, because we feel like this is the, because we are all over 50. Or we're focused on women over 40. So it's almost like the encore of your life. You're taking things you've learned, things you've done, and you're sort of bringing out the best of that into your second act. And then this empire, I think some people think, oh, that means, you know, tons of money and something really huge. But really what an empire is, it's something you have control over. And you're the one who gets to call the shots. But, you know, and you also get to take the fall at the same time, you know, like it all rests on you. And it's a big responsibility. And I think that women have kind of sold themselves short, or they feel like they aren't capable, you know, that that's typically been the man's role and the man's world. And we're very passionate about educating women and supporting them and letting them know that, you know, you're not alone. And there's a lot of us out here doing the exact same thing, and we're banded together to support one another, because I think that that support, just as you've supported your daughter and you've provided that role modeling for her, and now look at what she's able to do. And I think that we can do that as well for our daughters and our friends' daughters and all the daughters of the world.
I think that's very, very important. And I think that speaking of Encore, it's certainly joining my daughter in a business when I was, in my late 60s was definitely an encore. And one of the most exciting things I did for the next 10 years. And so I think that this whole idea of ageism is, oh my goodness, I'm over 50, I'm over 60, I'm over 70, I'm over 80. We have to fight that, because the thing that we can bring to the table is experience. And I think that it would be a shame to let that experience simply stay in the drawer because you think you're too old. You're not too old. As long as you have curiosity and are willing, as you say, to take the falls. And my daughter and I took a lot of falls, because we were doing DVDs. That sounds like ancient history already. And once the company, everybody went digital, we had huge, huge adjustments to make. But we felt in control of it. And I think that being a business for yourself is one of the most thrilling things you can do, if you can do it. Because you're right, you don't have to listen to a corporate manager telling you what to do. You make your own decisions and take the consequences, and hopefully that turns out.
Definitely. And I love that you know, we say a lot of the times, one of our little taglines is experience elevates everything. And so it's those, you know, sometimes we think, well, I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. I don't want to do this. But it's those experiences that really hone our skills and make us able and better prepared to handle what comes next. You know, everything is not going to go our way. And the fact that you worked your way through so many different things, and all of us as women do, we can pull that experience, whether it's talking about in our business, in our life, in our, you know, anything, any type of experience, it helps to sharpen the saw, as Deirdre and I like to say, right? We sharpen our skills and we're able to then handle more as we go forward. So it's so important to give ourselves credit where credit is due. When we've gone through these experiences, good, bad, and ugly, they all add up to something for us.
Well, I couldn't be in more of agreement. I don't think I have another business to start, but I have another career, which if you want to talk about continuing doing things as you get older, I might just put in parentheses and don't know where this fits in. But after my partner died, that was a very difficult time. I was 65. Didn't know what the next chapter in my life was going to be like. And I came back to New York and I started dancing the tango. And I danced for 13 years. And it gave me so much joy. And it was a skill I had no idea. I had any ability to dance whatsoever. But I did. And that was an amazing chapter of my life. And I just don't think that, you know, one can stop learning new things. But when I stopped dancing, I thought, oh, now what do? I was finished with Little Pim, finished with dancing. And my daughter said, Mom, you should write your memoir. I said, oh, no. I mean, nobody's interested in my memoir. But I did start writing and I did go to some writing workshops. And that's what I've been writing and publishing for the last 7 or 8 years. So it's never too late to start something.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That is such a great, it's just such a great reminder to all of us that it's, you know, it's your mindset. I think we get too much into this chronological age. We get really focused on it. And I hear a lot of women who are, you know, they're just, you know, go, oh, well, I'm this age. So that, that limits me right there. And, you know, this, or I've got to get all this done before I turn, you know, such and such age, because then it's all over. And if we just can shift our mindset to, it's about how you're thinking about yourself and your life. And, exactly. And I know one of my favorite phrases, in French, I'm a Francophile, by the way.
Wonderful.
I have not lived there, but one day I'm going to.
It's not too late.
It is joie de vivre. And I think that joy of life is the thing that we have to remember. And that's why we love entrepreneurship so much, because I think that it really help support that joie de vivre, because as we, you know, if we are allowing ourselves to be caged in or hampered in some way, or we're not living up to our full potential that we really have inside of ourselves, it really makes it hard to hold on to that joy. And you really find the joy in the journey, and your journey can just go on and on and on. We don't know when the end is. So let's just keep going with it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think mindset is a very important part of this story. And there is a very interesting movement called ageism, which is exactly what you're talking about, that we should not be limited by this number. And I think that has been something particularly for women. I mean, there are men who are, you know, not afraid to say they're 75, but they've terrorized us. If we say our age, you know, they're not going to want to be involved in either business or personal ways because they think we're too old. So I think this idea, that's the next ceiling to crack, is that your age should not limit you and should not define you.
Yeah, well, I think you're okay with sharing your age, because I think our audience would love to know. No one would ever guess your age. Would you share with us, Beverly?
I am 86 years old and will be 87 very shortly. And I'm very fortunate because I've got great health. I inherited my father's genes and I'm very active. You know, I do yoga, I swim, I take my kids on vacation. So being active is really important, and being involved in something you're passionate about.
Yeah. you mentioned learning to dance. And I mean, it's just that curiosity, something like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I want to learn to paint. Maybe I want to learn to dance. Maybe, I mean, following our curiosity and not letting other external forces define who we are, I think is, you know, otherwise you're not living. If you are defined by what society says and what other people say and blah, 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 you're not living. You're allowing yourself to be, you know, categorized and placed in a box. But when you can define it for yourself, then you are living, and it's like life becomes magical.
Well, I think that people have things inside of themselves that they just don't even know are there, and you just have to explore. When my partner and I were in Russia, he bought for me a Russian doll. Do you know what those are? Those little dolls with one person. He said, "You're a Russian doll," because I had done all these things. And I think everybody is a Russian doll. You just have to look inside and find the other Russian dolls in there, because I've seen friends of mine who are my contemporaries who have retired from extremely important jobs. One has become an amazing watercolor painter, just had a one-man show. So there are things that you can do that you don't know you can do.
And this is another really important point that you bring up, Beverly, is as entrepreneurs, I think that sometimes we get stuck in the idea of this is the one thing that I'm doing, right? Like, this is what I'm good at. This is what my business is, and this is what I'm doing. And when things change, as they always do in business, and they do, you know, sometimes frequently, sometimes we have a hard time pivoting or, you know, thinking I can do something different. And I think that when one kind of business is successful for a while and then all of a sudden it's not, we tend to blame ourselves and go, oh, I'm no good at this. And really what it is, it's like with life, there are seasons to everything. And that just means that there's another thing around the corner, but you retain who you are and what you've learned and what you've experienced. And so I think if, as entrepreneurs, if we can keep that open-mindedness and that, as Carmen always says, keep your curiosity at the forefront, because you get curious. So like, okay, well, if this is not working anymore, that must mean there's something even better coming. And so we get curious about, oh, I wonder what that is. And we look for it. And then that's when we find it. And it's that sound, that's what I get from your story, is that you had these iterations. And even though you didn't know at the time, you didn't let it stop you. You didn't let it stop you from seeing what could be possible in the next iteration.
Well, the next iteration after the Pimsleur programs was kind of interesting, because they had were starting to sell, but not really as healthily as we had hoped in the first few years. And all of a sudden, my children were ready for college, and they were very bright, and they had been on scholarships in high school. But I thought, oh, how am I ever going to pay for college? So there was advertised for in the my daughter's son's school, there is going to be someone who's going to give a talk on how to finance a college education. So I said, oh, I'm going to be in the front row for that one. And after he finished his talk, I went up to him and I said, has anyone ever made a video of you doing this? And he said, no. Are you a filmmaker? And I had done some filmmaking in connection with my teaching, but I couldn't say I was a filmmaker. But I said, yes, I'm a filmmaker. And I don't know where it came from. And I said, I think this is a dynamite idea. You should make a film of yourself and sell it all over the United States to high schools and high school counselors. I mean, this like was on the top of my head. So I said, do you have a business card? Well, I didn't even have a business card. So I went home and called my friend Nancy, who was much more of a business person. I said, Nancy, I think this is a great idea, but I don't even know how to do this much. And I need a business card. What should I do? She said, design a business card, put yourself Beverly Pimsleur president, and that's who you will be. That's your new identity. Just fit into it. So that's what I did. I designed a business card. I called it Actuel Video. I called him up. I made an appointment. And that was the first video in Actuel Video. And it did very well. It sold all over the country. And that's how I got my start. I went and took a quick course in video making. And I was with my partner, who was a filmmaker, but I wanted to have, some more experience. So that was the beginning of Actual Video.
That's amazing. And it reminds me of that old adage that says, say yes and figure it out afterwards.
Exactly.
That's exactly
that
what
must be my mantra.
Yeah. But that's good. It's like, let's take a chance. Let's follow that curiosity. Yeah. I mean, you saw something when you watched that and the idea struck and it's like, let's make this happen. And you did. So that's so, so inspiring.
And that was a wonderful, fun ride that we had with Actual Video. The thing is that had I stayed in New York, because we left New York after 5 years of having the company, I think I wasn't savvy enough at that time to know how to make that business grow. And I think that's an important point in any business, is knowing, when do I grow it? How do I grow it? I knew I was doing too much. I was spread very thin. I was doing video editing and production. And I don't know that at that point I would have understood that you have to hire people. You have to delegate responsibility. You have to give a fundraiser and have someone invest. So I don't know where that would have gone at that point. But I do know that I recognized that there was a moment when you have to know how to go bigger. And with my daughter, who had much more experience than I did at that point, we knew when to take Little Pim bigger. And that was an important moment of getting a bigger office, hiring more people, going out on a limb. But it's really a lot, as you know, and people, entrepreneurs know, you have to know at what point you're ready to take that next step.
Yep. And I'm really excited about this last decade, where we've been seeing a lot more women and men as well, but come to the forefront, those who do have that experience, that business, savviness, business experience. And it's one of the reons why Carmen and I started Encore Empire, is because between the two of us, we had all the different parts of experience between marketing and sales and the financial part. And you have to have all of that. And like you said, a lot of women don't have it. And that's one reason why we love working in our own business and supporting other women who are helping the entrepreneurs, that we're educating them, because now it's available. So anyone who, they have their gifts and their skills, but they may not know the business of business as well. And so that's where we come in. And we know of a whole lot of other women who do an amazing job in different areas of expertise that help. And I think it's wonderful that that's all available. And for anyone out there who, if you're resonating with this and you're going, yep, I don't, I'm not sure where I'm going with my business, we encourage you to seek the expert guidance, because it will be the make or break of your business. It can either stay like it is, it could go backwards, or you can go forward. And when you have the guidance, you get there, you get further faster.
Well, I think it's wonderful that there is all this technology that can link women to each other so they can learn from each other's experiences. And this is something that, certainly did not exist in any of my businesses, where I could say, oh my, I don't know what to do next. I'll just go watch a podcast and find out. So I think it is a great service that you are giving to these women, and that they're able to learn from each other, which I think is really important.
It is. Can you tell people how they can connect with you online if they have questions? Because your story is just fantastic. I'm sure people would love to learn more.
Oh, well, I'm on Facebook. I'm not that active on Facebook, but I am on Facebook. And I would be happy to respond to anybody who has a question.
Perfect. Yeah. I just know, you're such an inspiring person, Beverly. And we are so grateful that you shared your story with us here. When you reached out, Beverly reached out and asked if she could be on the podcast. And we were like, oh my gosh, yes. What a great, a great story to add to our collection. And we're hoping that this will inspire our listeners to realize that, we can't see what's ahead of us. And like when you hindsight is 20/20, but if you're always living in the moment and following your curiosity, you can't go wrong.
Well, thank you. That's very, very good for all your kind words. This has been such an enjoyable pleasure to speak to both of you. Thank you again for inviting me.
Thank thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Encore Entrepreneur. Can you do us a favor? It will help us if you would please subscribe to the show, leave a review, and share it with your friends.
Our goal with this podcast is to bring you the real talk about how to be successful without compromising your values, and we need your help to spread the word.